Today's shir is Masechta Bava Kama Daf Lamed Beis, and we will begin on Daf Lamed Beis on an Aleph at the Gemara Tapri Yomid. Ask the Gemara Bamine Rava Bar Nosim Rav Huna. A mazak is ishta b'tashu shemita. If somebody, while having relations with his wife, damages her, causes hurt, wounds her, mahu, what will be the din? Do we say kivin the rishus kavod, since he certainly was doing something that he had every right to do? Daloch is potter, adilma, or perhaps ibayla liyune, he should have been more careful. And as I saw of Aaron Leib Steinman explains the Gemara, since a wife is obligated to have tashmish with her husband, perhaps, suggests the Gemara, he was doing what's within his rights, and therefore he's potter, or that just because he has that right doesn't absolve him from being careful. The Mefarshim ask that the Riva says that if someone was given something to work with, and while he's working with the item that he was given a right to work with, he damages it, there is no chiyuv as a mazik. So here, if we just explained that a husband is allowed to have relations with his wife, why should he be considered a mazik? So there are a number of answers given. One answer is that if we follow the opinion that doing this without being careful is unacceptable, then is a posheya. So even though the halach is that if I work with an item and I'm not, and if it gets ruined as I'm working with it, I'm not to be held responsible, not in a situation when I'm a posheya. Another teretz that's given, that rule that if I'm working with an item and I ruin it as I'm working with it, I'm not chayiv, is only when we're talking about an object. Not when we're talking about a human being. Here we're talking about a woman, a human being. A third teretz that the stipler suggests is since here he is having pleasure from this act, it changes the circumstances. And the same type of question is asked. We know, we learn in Parashas Mishpatim, we're going to discuss this more in Masechta Bava Metzia Mitzvashem, where the Torah speaks about Shoimrim. The Torah says that a shoyel, if you borrow something from somebody else, your level of responsibility is the highest level of responsibility. But still, ba'ol of imoy, if, for example, you borrowed a car and the owner of the car is with you and something happens, you're potter. So here, the woman that you're having relations with is with you. So why is this not a situation of ba'ol of imoy that should be potter? And again, one answer is ba'ol of imoy doesn't help for pashia. And if this is considered a pashia, it wouldn't be a heter. Similarly, ba'ol of imoy is only for an object, not for a human being. Here we're referring to a human being, and therefore the heter ba'ol of imoy would not be applicable. Says the Gemara, Amalei Tenesua, isn't our Mishnah an answer to this question? Because our Mishnah says, Shilzeh Rishus Lahalich, Ulzeh Rishus Lahalich. Since the Mishnah said that if two people are walking and they collide into each other in a place that they're allowed to walk, neither is held responsible. Here too, since the husband and wife are allowed to engage in these relations, if something happens, they should not be held responsible. Amar Rava. So Rava says, Kav Chomer. This argument, we could actually say just the opposite. We know, we're going to discuss this more as we get into the shir today, Mitzvah Shem, the loch is if somebody kills someone else, b'shoigeg, he's chayiv golos. The Torah, when it teaches us the din of going to golos, says, where does this happen? If somebody comes to a yar, a forest, and he's chopping wood, and the metal disconnects from the handle, and it kills someone else, b'shoigeg, he's chayiv golos. So yar becomes the model for chayiv golos. Umayyar, in the situation of a forest, Shazel Rishus Nichnas, Vizel Rishus Nichnas, they both have rights to walk into the yar. Still, if somebody murders someone else under those circumstances, Nas Kamishan Nichnas Rishus Chaveroi, it's considered as if he went into his neighbor's Rishus, and he's Chayef. Zeh, so in the case when the husband's having relations with his wife, that certainly shlurushus chaver nichnas, that he's coming into, so to speak, her domain, lekoshke. And therefore the Gemara is suggesting that you certainly should be chayiv. Elo, says the Gemara, l'she hok tani, this is the way to understand. How we, in other words, what the Gemara is saying is, so fine, yar is a proof that if the husband has relations with the wife and is mazakar, he's chayiv, but isn't our Mishnah a proof that he's potter? Because our Mishnah is teaching us that in any circumstance of lezel rishus lahalach, lezel rishus lahalach, there is no chayiv. El hok tani, this is the way to understand our Mishnah. In the case of our Mishnah, shlezel rishus lahalach, lezel rishus lahalach, hasam kadodin inu. In the case of our Mishnah, both people walking in the rishus rabbim carrying the items are equal. And therefore, if they are mazik each other, the potter. Hocha, however, in the case of the husband with the wife, iu ka'ovid ma'isa, only he's doing an act. V'hi loy, and she's only being passive. And therefore, certainly, even if we learn our Mishnah, the husband should be chayiv when he hurts his wife during tashmish. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, how can we suggest that a woman is not considered an active participant in the Maisa Tashmish V'ksiv? We know that if a woman participates in a relationship that she's not supposed to have, the Torah says V'nikrasa ha'nefoshes ha'isoyis b'karav amam, that they are that she is considered that she participated. So how can we say that she's not considered participating? We see that she gets karis because the Torah says that she participated. Answers the Gemara. Hanoah l'tavai islu. As far as having pleasure, they both have pleasure. And that's why she's chayiv if she participates in such an act, even though we're considering it a passive participation. Iu, however, when it comes to who is considered an active participant and who is not an active participant, iu ma'aseh du'kavod, it's only he who's considered an active participant, and therefore he is considered a mazik, and he's udi chayiv. So Tosfos, as the Noda Yehuda explains the Gemara, teaches us, says that to be chayiv and oynish, you don't have to be an active participant. As long as you did this knowing what you're doing, there was rotzen, plus hanor, pleasure, that is enough to have an oynish. That's how Tosfos. That's why the woman who knows what she's doing and enjoys it is chayiv. That's how the Noda Yehuda explains the Gemara. The Asvin the Raisa, Rabbi Yosef Engel, explains the Gemara differently. He says there are two Averas that the entire Avera is based on Hanor. That's the Avera. Macholos Asuris and Arayis. So even if normally you don't have to have, you have to have active participation, here Hanor is enough to make you chayiv. And that's why by Arayis, the woman would be chayiv. There's a difficulty following the ask from the Raisa's Pshat, because we all remember the Gemara asks that Esther, who was married to Mordechai, was an Ashes Ish, and how was she allowed to have relations with Achashverosh? So the Gemara answers, Karka Oilam. She wasn't an active participant. But if we're learning now that you don't have to be an active participant to be chayiv for Arayis, so what kind of an answer is that? So I saw two answers to the question. One answer is that you have to have Hanor. Esther had no Hanor from having relations with Achashverosh. Another teretz is that there are two aspects to when someone has Arayis. One aspect is the Oynish that our Gemara is talking about. And the Gemara says that the punishment is just for Hanor. But there's another din. We know that if somebody's faced with a challenge that either do an aver of Arayis or let themselves be killed, the Horig Val Yaver. For that, Karka Oilam, as long as you're not an active participant, you don't have to be Maisa Nefesh. So now we're learning that when the Torah uses the words Hanefoshes or Isis, it means Isis doesn't mean active participation. Isif means having Hanor. So I saw the Mefarshim say we can now understand two psukim in the Torah. One pasuk is a pasuk that we're very familiar with. We say it every week. B'sham v'nei Yisrael es a Shabbos. Lasis is a Shabbos. So Farshim all discuss, what does Lasis is a Shabbos mean? What do you mean you make Shabbos? So Pshat is B'sham v'nei Yisrael es a Shabbos. You know when you consider the Shomer Shabbos? Lasis is a Shabbos. If you have Hanor from Shabbos. Part of being a Shomer Shabbos involves Lasis is a Shabbos, enjoying Shabbos. Then, I saw a beautiful word. We know that Paroi tells Shif from Pua, the Mialdois, to kill all the Jewish children. And they didn't listen. And the Pasuk said that he challenges them, Madil asisem asadova hazeh, v'techayen asayelodim. So it's an obvious question. He should say, Madu aloy asisem asadova hazeh. They didn't do what he said. He says, Madu asisem, why did you do it? So Mepharshim say that not only did Shifra Pua disobey Paroi, but they enjoyed disobeying him. They enjoyed seeing more Jewish children. And that was Paroi's challenge to them. Madu asisem asadova hazeh. Why do I see you enjoying the techiyanis yelodim? Not only did you go against what I said, but asisem, you're enjoying it. So Gemara paskind that if somebody damages his wife during having relations with her, certainly the Gemara paskins he's chayiv. Now the question is, what is he chayiv? Everybody agrees that he's not chayiv for boishes, because there was no intent to be mazik. And as we've learned, if there is no intent to be mazik, there's no chayiv boishes. Chayiv nezek, there certainly is, as our Gemara concluded. Machloikas Rishonim regarding tsar and ripui and sheves, is he chayiv or not? And then there's another interesting machloikas rishonim. We're going to learn later in the Masechta, what is the halacha if someone who's married, a woman who's married gets damaged, gets wounded? Who gets the money? Because komash kon isha kon bala. So we're going to learn that the halacha is that whatever she gets, whatever she's entitled to, they should invest by real estate, and he gets the payris, he gets the dividends, the interest, the rent, and she keeps the actual karka. What will be the halacha if he's the one that has to give her damages? The case of Al Gemara, that he damaged her, and now she's entitled certainly to nezek, or maybe to more payment. Does the same then apply, that he's going to have to give her the nezek, and then they'll buy this type of investment? Or since he's the one that's the mazik, then she could just keep the money, and he has no rights to it. Also interesting, machlokes rishonim. It's all about Kai Rishon. So we learned in the Mishnah that if somebody is walking with a beam in front and somebody's walking behind them with a pitcher, and the person with the pitcher started walking quicker and he collided into the person in front of him, then the person carrying the beam is not chayiv. Whereas if the person carrying the beam, as we explained in the previous year, made a short stop, then he would be chayiv unless he gave warning. Says the Mishnah. Says the Gemara. We've discussed Rish Lakish's din many times. I'm Rish Lakish. Shtei pars b'shus rabim. If you have two cows in shus rabim, achas revutz of achas malachas, and one cow decided to squat down in the shus rabim, and then bo'ata malachas b'revutza, the one that's walking kicks the one that's squatting, p'tura. And as the Gemara explained earlier, because kala mashana, if somebody does something abnormal, a cow sitting himself down in the shus rabim is considered a shinui, and somebody else being Mishana afterwards, you part them. However, if the Revutza kicks the Mahaleches, then he's Chayeves. Because why are you kicking him? Says the Gemara, Lema Masailei, perhaps our Mishnah should be a proof to Rish Lakish. And as the Rishonim point out, because since when we learned Rish Lakish's opinion earlier, we found that Rava disagreed with Rish Lakish, it would be very worthwhile to Rish Lakish if he had our Mishnah corroborating his Psak. Because our Mishnah said, how about Kli Rishon? If somebody carrying the beam was walking first, or about Chavis Achron, and the person with the pitchers behind him, we explain, Nishber Chavis B'Kaira, if the person who carries the Chavis collides into the person carrying the beam, Potter. However, from Amid Bal Kaira, if the person with the beam stopped, then he would be Chayif. Now, V'Hocha, isn't our Mishnah a situation of Revutza? The person carrying the beam is like the person who is like the cow that squatted down in the shusrabim. They just stopped in the shusrabim. That damages the mahalachas, whether it's the cow kicking the cow that's walking, the cow that's squatting, kicking the cow that's walking, or it's the person carrying the beam who stopped damaging the person who's carrying the pitcher. V'ktani chayif. And we see that there's chayif. So aren't these two situations identical? So we have a riot to Rish Lakish's opinion from our Mishnah. Says the Gemara, v'tiz bro, hasayi boy. Is that correct that our Mishnah is approved to Rish Lakish? Says the Gemara, loy mustai loy mustai. I'm going to prove to you, says the Gemara, that not only is our Mishnah not a corroboration of Rish Lakish's opinion, actually our Mishnah is difficult. It contrasts what Rish Lakish says. Why? Tama de Bota. What is the case that Rish Lakish speaks about? That the animal was squatting down Rish Lakish, stuck out its leg, and kicked the animal that's walking. What would be if the animal who's squatting in the Rish Lakish is sitting there, and the animal that's walking tripped over that animal? What would be the halacha? Potter. Whereas our Mishnah, that's exactly the case. Where the person with the kaira stopped, and the other person tripped over him, and he's chayiv. So Rish Lakish only speaks about a case where the animal that's squatting is doing an act of kicking, but just sitting is not chayiv. Whereas the Mishnah says that you're chayiv even for no act. So if anything, our Mishnah is contrary to what Rish Lakish says. V'masnisin the memela, our Mishnah is referring to a situation that the Baal Kaira just stopped, and the Baal Chavis collided into him, and yet, v'ktani chayiv. So our Mishnah is contrary to Rish Lakish. Answers the Gemara, masnisin, you can't compare the situation of our Mishnah to the situation of Rish Lakish. Why? Because masnisin, the Paschal Orcha Kishildah, our Mishnah is referring to a situation, something that we discussed at the end of yesterday's year, that the person with the Kaira is blocking the entire Rishus Rabbin. So the person who's walking behind him with the Chavis has nowhere to go. And since he has nowhere to go, that's why the Baal Kaira is Chayiv. Hacha, in the case that the animal squatted down in Rishus Rabbin, Kigoin, the Rabbi Bechad Gisa, it squatted down on one side of the Rishus Rabbin, so the person, the other animal, should have not walked into it, should have walked around it. So if it walks over the animal, and by walking over the animal, it trips and gets hurt, the question is, why did you walk over there? You should have never walked there. And therefore, Rish Lakish could say that you're potter, and Amishta could say you're chayiv, because they're not talking about the same situation. Says the Gemara. So our Mishnah and Rish Lakish aren't really talking about the same situation. So what we're up to right now, our Mishnah is not a proof to Rish Lakish, nor is it a question on Rish Lakish. Says the Gemara, say for the Masnisin, the next case of our Mishnah perhaps is Messiah Lele Rish Lakish, is a proof to Rish Lakish. What did I say? The Tani, Hoi Ba Chavis Rishin, if the person carrying the Chavis is walking in front, or Ba Kaira Achron, the person who's carrying the beam is behind them, Nishber Chavis Ba Kaira, and now the person behind him walks too quickly, bangs into the person up front, and breaks his chavis, he's chayif. Then on the Baal Chavis, but if the Baal Chavis stopped, potter. Now, v'hocha, here's a situation, the malachas pervutza, that the person who's walking with the kaira is colliding into the person who stopped with the chavis, and what does our Mishnah say? That you potter. So isn't that the same here, where the same over here, says the Gemara, no. Masnisin, the Ke'orchid Mazgi. In the case of our Mishnah, the person walking with the Kaira is walking in a normal fashion. The person with the Kaira stopped. So why'd you stop? Hacha Amalei, ne dislach l'shkuyalai. In the case of our Mishnah, the animal who stopped in the Shus Arabim could say, yes, I shouldn't have stopped here, and you have a right to walk over me. But levuti be less lachrashusa. That doesn't necessarily give you a right to kick me. Amish is only talking about walking, not about kicking, and therefore, again, the Mishnah and this are not the same. The Mefarshim asked, there's a lot to say, but we'll just point out one issue. The Mefarshim asked that we've learned, that the Pasuk says, Ki yechra ishbar, ishbar v'loy sharbar. That a shard that makes a bar can never be considered a bar. So they ask, in the case of Rish Lakish, when an animal squats down, and there's just rabbim, and the Gemara is suggesting that it becomes a bar, why is it a bar? An animal can never be a bar. So Mefarshim say we shouldn't misunderstand that Pasuk. The Pasuk means that if a shor digs a bar, it's unlike a human digging a bar. If a human digs a bar, it becomes a bar. But if a shor digs a bar, it doesn't become a bar. But that doesn't mean that a shor itself can never be a bar. And certainly if I allow my shor to deposit himself in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he will have the din of a bar. Says the Mishnah. Shtayim shayamach Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Two people were walking Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Echad rotz v'echad mahalach. One was running and one was walking. Ashay shneim rotzim, both were running. V'ziku zuzu, and they do damage to each other. Shneim p'turim, they both be potter. Now Gemara is going to, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, analyze this Mishnah. Says the Gemara, at first glance, masnisim d'loike Yisra ben Yehuda. Our Mishnah is not consistent with the Yisra ben Yehuda's pshat. The Tanya Yisra ben Yehuda oimer, rotz chayiv. If somebody runs through the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he's chayiv. He did something abnormal. You're not supposed to run in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. However, mighty easy be Erev Shabbos Benish Moshes, that if it's Erev Shabbos, we'll discuss this more, when everybody's in a rush, Shupater, Neshirot Prishos. Then he had a right to run. Om Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, Halach Isi Ben Yehuda. The Halach is indeed like Isi Ben Yehuda. Ask the Gemara, Omi Om Rabbi Yochanan Haki, can Rabbi Yochanan indeed pass like Isi Ben Yehuda? Vom Rabbi Yochanan. We have a rule that Rabbi Yochanan says throughout Shas, Dalach Kstam Mishnah. And as, just to review, as Rashi taught us in Masech Tabeya, why is Halach Kstam Mishnah? Because every Mishnah the Rebbe wrote, he heard the, what the Mishnah said from somebody. Why didn't he mention the name of the person who he heard what he was saying from? Because he didn't want it to be just attributed to one individual. Rather, he wanted it to be considered Stam. Everybody holds that way. So we have a Stam Mishnah, says Rabbi Yochanan, that looks that way. But Tanan, what does our Mishnah say? Echad rotz v'echad mahalach. If one person is running, one person is walking, or they're both running, p'turim. But Isi doesn't say that. Isi says that you only part the b'shneim rotzim. But echad rotz v'echad mahalach, Isi will hold, is chayiv. Our Mishnah says, it's potter. So before we go further, everybody agrees that Shneim Rotzim, that if they're both running, you're Chayiv, you're Potter. Because we both entered to this relationship the same way. And the Rosh, based on this Gemara, Paskins, that if two people enter into a wrestling match, and that happens when two people wrestle, one person can get hurt, it's a case of Shneim Rotzim, and you're Potter. Not only that, a more relevant Shaila that I saw the Paskin based on this Gemara and the Rosh, what happens if people are playing ball? And during the time when people play ball, sometimes one person hurts the other person, he breaks his glasses. So somebody breaks someone else's glasses during a ball game. Is he chayif for the glasses that he broke or not? Certainly, the Paiskim say, it's the case of our Gemara of Shneim Rotzim. They both entered into this match, into this game together, and they're potter. But according to Isi Ben Yehuda, when Echad rots, the Echad Mahalach, then Yechayev. And again, the point is, because he's acting in unacceptable fashion in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And I saw that the Pesachei Choshen, based on this Mishnah, Paskins, anyway, should do not smoke, but if somebody's smoking in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and he's standing there with a lit cigarette, and people could walk by and get their suits ruined, he would be Chayev. Because that's already a situation of Echad rots, doing something that you have no specific right to do, which is rather vechem mahalach.
According to Rosh, why is it different than the Yishuvisha during Tashush, that the man is chayiv what he did?
Because there it's one rotz and one's not rotz. Here it's pshnei rotz. So now, how does Isi ben Yehuda's opinion coincide with our Mishnah? It says, Demara, Masnisin, Be'er Shabbos, Be'er Shmashas. Our Mishnah is also talking about Friday afternoon. Mamai. And the Gemara proves that's the way to understand our Mishnah. Let's look at our Mishnah. Midik Tani, our Mishnah says, Oishay Shneim Rotzim Peturim. Hasolumali. First the Mishnah says that if one person's running potter, and then the Mishnah says that if they're both running potter. Ask them, why did the Mishnah have to teach us the din if they're both running potter? Hashta, if echad rots for echad mahalich potter, certainly shneim rotsim meboyi that you potter, so why did the Mishnah have to say shneim rotsim that you potter? Ella, hachikam. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. Echad rots vech mahalich, if one is running and one is walking potter, when? Strictly by medvar mamurim, b'erev Shabbos ten hashmashos. Ava b'chol, if it would be during the weekday, not during a rushed time, vira halach would be echad rots vech mahalach is chayiv. Whereas shneim rotsim, as we said a moment ago, afil b'chol b'turim. So Gemara analyzes, amamar, umay the isi b'erev Shabbos ten hashmashos, erev Shabbos ten hashmashos, shu potter. That you potter. Why? Neshu rots b'rishos. Because you're running, Erev Shabbos is a rush time. A number of machlokes rishonim that lead to machlokes achroim. What does Erev Shabbos mean? When? Does it mean only ben hashmashes? Or does it mean after chatzos, when people get busy? Furthermore, on Erev Shabbos, whatever time it is, let's say somebody's rushing Erev Shabbos, but he's not rushing for a Shabbos thing. He's rushing. But it has nothing to do with Shabbos. Will the Torah still exist or not? Also machlokes v'shoinim. And the most important question is, how do we look at this? Because the Pesukim can discuss, what is the din if you're running, not Erev Shabbos, but you're running to do a Dvar Mitzvah? Do you always have the Torah of Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmashes? So the Pesukim can say, in order to be potter, you have to have all of the characteristics of Erev Shabbos. What are the characteristics? There are really two characteristics the Pesukim can point out. Number one is Erev Shabbos, the time is coming. Shabbos, the Zman is the Zman. So therefore, let's say you're running. The Chavos Yor discusses the Shaila, where the Gabbai gave a clap after Ma'ariv Kiddush Levana. And somebody gets all excited and runs, and as he runs out, he damages someone. Kiddush Levana is not such a pressure. If you don't do it now, you could do it an hour from now. If you don't do it tonight, you could do it tomorrow night. And Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmashos, everybody knows that everybody's in a rush. Not everybody's aware that you're in a rush in other times. So let's say even if you're running to shul, because you want to make it to a minyan, and this man is coming, or you're running to a shir, that the shir starts at a certain time. But nobody else knows that you're running to the shir. And therefore you'll be chayiv. The only case that I saw that the Pesukim can compare, a very relevant shaila, it should never be, that you can compare to Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmashos, if someone is going to a Hatzolah call. So their time is of the essence. And if he puts on his siren, so it's like Erev Shabbos Bein HaShmashos, that everybody's aware that somebody driving with a siren is obviously in a rush. Ask the Gemara, Erev Shabbos Ma'ariv B'Rishos Ika. So the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara's question is, Friday afternoon, we can understand that you're rushed. Shabbos is coming, you have to get prepared for Shabbos. But when it comes to Ben HaShmashos, you have to have everything ready. So what is pshat that you're in a rush? It says, the Gemara, Kreb Chanina, Dom Reb Chanina, Boi V'Neitze Likras Kala Malkusa. Friday afternoon, right when Shabbos comes, you have to go greet Shabbos. Ramalei Likras Shabbos Kala Malkusa. Reb Yanai, Mis'at Fakoi. Reb Yanai would put on his talis, from a Boi Kala, Boi Kala. One man says that we went out. The other man says, "Boy, Vamalei Likras, just stand here." What's stand here? So Gra explains, what's the two pshatim? One man held that Shabbos becomes Shabbos by itself. So Masata Fakoi, look, just stand in one place. The other man says, you have to be Mekadosh Shabbos. Since you have to be Mekadosh Shabbos, you have to go out to greet it. And in fact, I saw Rav Moshe says, this is the basis why people stand by Kiddush Friday night. Because that's how we're standing up to greet the Shabbos. And that's why Rav Moshe says, that even if your minig is to stand by Kiddush Friday night, because that's how you're greeting Shabbos, you don't have to stand by Kiddush Yontif, because there's no inyan of greeting Yontif like we find greeting Shabbos. Why is Shabbos called a Kala? So the Marsha says, that Shabbos said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everybody has a peer. Sunday has Monday, Tuesday has Wednesday, Thursday has Friday. I have no peer. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you do have a peer. Who is your peer? Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael and Shabbos are our peer. That's what we call, Shabbos is called our Kala. And that's why the Paiskim say that one should be Makabel Shabbos saying by Kala with a minion. Because just like a Chasna, you have to have a minion, from our beginning of Masechta Ksubis. Same too, when you're, so to speak, joining together with Shabbos, our Kala, you should have at least a minion there. Why did he say Likra Shabbos Kala? He added the word Shabbos. So the Maral says, there's three things that happen on Shabbos. Shin, Shabbos, you're not allowed to do work. Beis, begodim, you have to change your clothing. And Tof is Tainug. And Shabbos, you're supposed to have an Einig Shabbos. Misatifakai, put on the talus. Why do you put on the tzitzis? There's a minute some people put on a talus for Friday night davening. Why? Because when we say Parashat Tzitzis, we say that the tzitzis represent that we remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and he took us out of Mitzrayim. Shabbos does the same purpose, so that's why there's a connection between Shabbos and tzitzis. That's this the Makar, where people would go and dance to greet the Shabbos. How many times are you supposed to say Bayi Kala? The Chidah says, that he quotes Dari, you're supposed to say the words Bayi Kala two times out loud and one time quietly. One last vart, interesting vart, from the Shema Shmuel. He says, here our Gemara, and this has never changed, says that Friday afternoon as Shabbos comes, we're in a rush. Where does that come from? So he says, it comes from the first Friday from when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. Because Rashi and the Medrash say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different than us. We never know exactly when something's happening, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. So we don't really know exactly when Shabbos begins, so we really have to start being Shomer Shabbos before, because we have a question. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly when Shabbos begins. So therefore, on Friday afternoon, in the first Friday afternoon of the Brias Olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is working until the last minute, because he could keep on working until the last minute. He knows when the last minute is, and that the next minute is Shabbos. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu already brought into the Bria that you work on Friday afternoon until the last minute. And that's where we came, that we're always in a rush Friday afternoon until the last minute. Says the Mishnah. Hamavaki b'rishus rabim, somebody is chopping wood in rishus rabim, v'hizik b'rishus yochid, and it went to the rishus yochid. Or b'rishus yochid, v'hizik b'rishus rabim. Or he's doing it in rishus yochid, and it flies into rishus rabim. B'rishus yochid, v'hizik b'rishus yochid, acher, it went from one rishus yochid to another rishus rabim, yichayiv. However, if it goes within the same rishus yochid, you'll be potter. Says the Gemara v'tzricha. We need all the cases. Deitar mavak b'rishus yochid, v'hizik b'rishus rabim. There are many people that are under the Rishus Rabbim, and therefore you should have paid attention. Avil. Rishus Rabbim, Rishus Yochid. If you're chopping wood from Rishus Rabbim to Rishus Yochid, maybe you shouldn't be chayiv, because you shouldn't be worried. You should not be chayiv. Vitan Rishus Rabbim, Rishus Yochid. Mishum de Korish Lo Rishus Ovid. A person doesn't have a right. You're not supposed to chop wood under Rishus Rabbim. Av. If you're chopping wood in your own rishus ayochid, that you, the rishus of it, you have every right to chop wood in your own rishus, emeloi, you should not be chayif. Vi tanach hanach tarti. If we only had these two cases, when you're chopping wood from rishus ayochid to rishus rabbim, you have the problem that there are many people in the rishus rabbim. Or in chopping wood in rishus rabbim, you had no right to chop wood under those circumstances. If you're chopping from one Rishus Yochid to another Rishus Yochid, we're number one, you don't have to worry that, you, that the wood is flying to a place where many people exist. And furthermore, where you started chopping the wood, you had every right to start there. You should not be chayif. That's why we need all the cases. So the Rishonim ask, so we should only have the last case. If Rishus Yochid, Rishus Yochid Acher Yechayif, certainly in all the other cases Yechayif, they say that the Kasha is a good Kasha. The way to understand the Mishnah is Loizu Afsu. That not only in this case are you Chayif, but even in the previous cases are you Chayif. Tanabon. Hanichnas L'chanusa Shal Nagah Shloi Rishus. If somebody walks into the store of a carpenter without permission, the nitzabekas, and the carpenter or the blacksmith, a spark, a piece of wood flies, the tofka alponov, and it flies into the face of the person who walked in, umeis, and he passes away because of that accident, potter. But if he came in with Rishus Chayiv, Tosfos points out, and that's how we're going to learn the Gemara, that even in the case that he was Nichnas, Shaloi Rishus, it means that he went in without permission, but the Nagar was aware that he came in. If the Nagar were totally unaware that he came in, then he would be potter. Ask the Gemara, my Chayiv. What does it mean that Nichnas Rishus is Chayiv? Omer Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanina, Chayiv Dal Dvarim. He's chayiv nezek tzar ripu in sheves. He's not chayiv for boishes, as we said earlier in the shiur. You never chayiv for boishes if there was no intent to be mazik or potter megolos. But he's not. He's potter from golos. Why? Lefish ein doim liyar. As we said earlier in our shiur, what is the prototype that the Torah gives us when there's a chayiv golos? When it's like a yar. What is a yar? A yar is a forest, which is an open place that the murderer and the victim have equal rights to go in there. Zeh, however, rishus chaveri nichnas. He didn't go into a place that he has equal rights as to the carpenter. It's the carpenter's shop, not the victim's shop. Amar Rava, so says Rava, kavachoymer. If anything, uma yar. The Zeladat Nichnas. Well, we both have equal rights to be there. Nasakami, still. It's treated. Nasakamisha Nichnas Ladas Chaveroi. It's considered as if he walked in with his fellow's knowledge. The Goyla, and he's got scholars. Zeresh Ladat Chaveroi Nichnas. Here we walked into someone else's property, like Koshkein, that you should get scholars. Says Rav, of course the logic is right. Elo Amar Rav, my potter megolus. You know what he means? He's potter from golus. Delay sagale begolus. Golus is an opportunity. Golus should not be viewed as a punishment. It's viewed as an opportunity. Why? Tupshatim. Number one, it brings kapora. This person who somebody walked into his shop, and he was aware that the person walked into his shop, is not going to have the opportunity to have a kapora through golus. That's one pshat that Rishonim offer. Another pshat that they suggest is, what is the reason, the practical reason, besides kapara, that somebody goes to golus? So the Torah tells us. Because that's the way he could protect himself from the goyel adam. In the Ari Miklot, the goyel adam is not allowed to touch him. This person doesn't have the Ari Miklot to protect him. And wherever he is, he's only going to spend the rest of his life running from the goyel adam. And that's the reasoning for Rabbi Yosef Chanina that says that he's part of Megolus. Only a real Shoigig is entitled to Golus, not somebody who's Karav Lemezid. Mosav Rava asks Rava, the Gemara teaches us Mesech the Makis. The Shliach Bezdin gives Makis. So the halacha is, before Makis are administered, they had to evaluate, even though the Torah speaks about 39 makas, they had to evaluate if the person who's getting makas could take all 39. And if he can't take all 39, we give him only what he could take. What happens if the person who's giving him makas, hoitzav l'ritzua achas ameis, gave him an extra maka, hareza goyel al yodai. He goes to golus. Ask the Gemara, why is he afforded golus? For hocha de shargi karv l'mezerhu. Again, isn't this a situation of Shagi Karv L'Mezid? The boy Asuke Daiti, the person who's giving the makis, should have certainly realized the Maisa Inish B'chadi Ritzua, that by giving him the extra maka, he may pass away. Victoria, and yet we learned Hareza Goyla. So we see that even in Shagi Karv L'Mezid, you get Golus. Omer Rav Simi Menador, the Tavim Minyana. It's considered a Shagi because he got mixed up and he lost count. Tofakle Rav Basanli. So when he said this answer, Rav like kicked him. Amalei, Otto who money? Does the person who give the makis count? For Tanya, we're going to learn in Masech the makis. It's not the person giving the makis that counts. The dayonim count. Godel shebayonim kairi. The dayon reads the parasha. Vasheni and another dayan minor does the counting. Vashlisha amaka, and the third dayan says before every makkah, give him a makkah. Ella amar simim adah, the tar dayana. The dayan made the mistake in the count, and that's why the shlich bezdin is considered a shaygig. So why is he considered a shaygig if the dayan made the mistake? Because the farshim say the ktsai says this. Just because the dayan made a mistake doesn't mean you're allowed to check out your mind. You have to still keep track. And if he didn't keep track, he's not a total mazid, but he's still a shaygig that he should have to go to galus. From here we also see that we apply the concept of ein shlich ledvar aveira, even in this case, because it's the dayan's fault. But still we consider that the shlich bezdin did the aveira. So he says we see ein shlich ledvar aveira even by a shaygig. The Nesivus argues, he says this is a case of dayanim, we can't bring a raya to the shayla of shlich ledvar aveira from dayanim. Meisvei. So the Mara says a different question. It says Azorik seven was just a rabbim. Somebody throws a stone into just a rabbim for horrig and he kills somebody. I raise a goyel again. If you throw something into the shus rabbim, you should certainly recognize the shus rabbim shchichi inchi. That's very likely that people there, and yet v'ktani I raise a goyel. Why do you go to golus? Isn't this a situation of shogi karv lemezit? Is referring to a situation where somebody knocked down his wall into the Shus HaRabim. Ask the Gemara, you haven't answered our question. You still should be concerned that if you're going to demolish the wall, there may be somebody on the other side. Says the Gemara, he did it by night. Ask the Gemara, Belayla Nami, at night you should still be concerned that there may be people there. Says the Gemara, Besoyser as Koisla B'yoyim L'Ashba. He's throwing it down to an ashpa. Ashpa's place where people used to go to the bathroom. Ask them, hi ashpa, hechadami. Exactly what are the circumstances of this ashpa? Either shchach rabbim, if there are a lot of people, so it's the same mazid, if you demolish your wall into that area. Realize shchach rabbim, and therefore you had no reason to believe that you're demolishing your wall with somebody sitting. Onasu, so why do you even have golus? Answers the Gemara, amra papa le tzricha, ela ba ashpa asui lefunas belaila. People use this area at night as a bathroom, the anus really falls beyond, but not during the day. However, Vikri the Mercury Yosef, sometimes a person will even use it by day. Mazel, however, you can't consider the person who demolishes a wall towards this area mazed, the anus really falls beyond. So that's why he didn't assume that anything is going to happen there. On the other hand, honest Namal, however, the Vikri the Mercury Yosef, there are people that sometimes are there. Says the Gemara, Rapapa Mishmei the Rava Masna Reisha. He says this din that we've been learning regarding the Reisha of the Braisa. It said in the Reisha, Hanichnus Lachanusa Shonagish Loi Brishos. He didn't have a right to walk in the Nitzloi Bekas, and a spark goes out of Tachvalei Aponov Umeis Potter. And that Amar Rabbi Yosef Bechanina Chay Bedvarim. He's Chay Ben Abedvarim Upotter Migolus, but Golus he doesn't get. Says the Gemara. Manda Masnala Sefer, according to the Mandama that says that in the case that the person walked in Berushus, he doesn't get Golus. Certainly Koshkin Aresha, that if you walked in Shalai Berushus, there's not going to be a Golus. However, I have a Manda Masnala Aresha, the Mandama that says that Dafkin the Aresha, where you walked in Shalai Berushus, and that's why the person who caused the person to die doesn't go to Golus. Avla Sefer, in the Sefer, Kivin the Berushus, he gave you permission to walk in. You should watch out that you may hurt the person. They're chayv golos. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Ami chayv golos. Is that true that just because you walked into somebody's rishos, somebody's property with rishos, and he accidentally kills you, he's chayv golos? But tanya, we learned a different brisa. Hanichnas lachanusa shel nafach. If somebody walks into a blacksmith shop, the nits and the notzites and the sparks fly, the tov chalay aponov umeis Potter, he's not chayv golus, and there it's talking. So we see that even if you went in with permission, there is a chayv golus. And says the Gemara, it's referring to the apprentice of the blacksmith. He's the one that got killed. Ask the Gemara, show you the nafchi. So just because he's an apprentice, you have a right to kill him? And says the Gemara, kshaber mitzayat by lot says. It's referring to a situation where the blacksmith told his apprentice, I don't want you to walk into the store. And he didn't listen. Ask the Gemara. taka very bad when a Talmud doesn't listen to the Rabbi. But because Mishum, the Rabbi Masar Bar Lot says, if your Rebbe tells you to leave, and you don't leave, lemiktalikai, that gives the Rebbe a right to kill you. Says the Gemara, it's not just that the Rebbe told him to leave. The Rebbe thought that he left. And therefore, if the Rebbe thought that he left, and he wasn't aware that he died, that's why, kusaviyotzi, he thought he left, and that's why he continued banging, and letting the spark fly, and that's why he's not chayiv if the person died. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, ihocha achanami, so then the same din shouldn't be limited to a Talmud. Everybody should have the same din. Answer the Gemara, acha lesli emsa the Rabbi. Hi isli is the Rabbi. A Talmud is worried about his Rebbe. So Rebbe could have certainly assumed that if his Talmud, he told his Talmud to do something, his Talmud did it. And therefore, if the Rebbe told the Talmud leave, he could safely assume that the Talmud left, and therefore he could continue banging. And if it turns out that the Talmud is there and he got hurt or killed because of the sparks, the Rebbe could say, I would have never imagined that my Talmud didn't listen. Other people don't listen. And therefore, just because the Rebbe told the person leave, just because the blacksmith told the person leave, he can't assume that he left. He should have made sure that the person left. And if he didn't make sure that the person left, and the person was indeed there, and he died, he's chayiv galus.